This week's episode is sponsored by LockButtonDesk.com. Keep your secretary in and your boss out.
Get lost with me tonight. Cruise slow motion, chase the sun as we burn one down. Get high with me tonight. High as a motherfucker, nothing's gonna stop us now. Tonight let's ride away. Southbound wind is on the way down rolling. It's time to break away. Leave the past behind, no need anywhere we're going. Get lost with me tonight. Cruise slow motion, chase the sun as we burn one down. Get high with me tonight. High as a motherfucker, nothing's gonna stop us now.
I remember the first time I saw Napier. Well, I wouldn't say saw, but I heard him. And from hearing Napier, I could tell. Well, I could almost see him. And, you know, that vision kind of reminded me of, well, the spirit of Christmas. The spirit of giving. The spirit of fat.
Welcome to the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks Internet Radio Program. I am Mike. I am joined, of course, by my esteemed co-host, Drunkard STL on the Twitters. Hello, Drunk.
Hello.
Also joining us via Skype, the albino alligator, quickly gaining fans at an alarming pace.
I love it.
I myself am a Travis guy, but Travis guys are being born every day. Mr. Travis Hulse is here. Hello, Travis.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. We are picking up momentum. We're rolling across the country and into other countries. So keep an eye out. We have our mission. We'll bring it right to your door.
Phone number to contact the show, 636-487-HAND or WFOD show on Skype. Guys, a special Tuesday edition of the program.
I hate to be that guy, but I guess Napes couldn't make it.
right away, gotta go there. A special Tuesday edition of the live show. If you're listening to this on a Thursday, completely disregard that.
Guys, we have so much to discuss. Travis, the song that I played at the beginning of the program was deliberate.
I did hear it.
I want to talk about it. Now, when you hear the song, Travis, I want you to describe to me the person that you see, like, what does this band look like? Do they look like an Imagine Dragon?
Yeah, like an Imagine Dragon or like a Kings of Leon.
I was thinking like a Mumford and Sons, maybe.
So you see, like, hipster fellas.
I could see a Mumford and Son.
Yeah.
See, now I'm gonna play an audio optical illusion on you all.
Okay.
Play along at home, and I'm gonna give you a point in me telling this story, where if you're listening to the podcast version, I want you to pause the podcast and tell me your answer before you continue on and I ruin it for you.
All right, we'll give you a minute. Okay.
So on Saturdays, I'm at work doing my job, pushing my cart, listening to my headphones. And what happens is I get tired of talk I moved to music. By Saturday...
Just too many podcasts. Saturday's music day.
Ready for music. Ready for music. And so what happens is I usually end up just kind of going through new releases and finding what I find. And so I'm scrolling through, and I see a band that has released their debut album. And I say, oh, you know what? I'll give some new guys a chance. Right? They were up really high. I was thinking, wow, these guys got a good push. They're up really high in the list. And I'm listening to this album, and it's very eclectic, the album. Coached you guys a little bit, but like when you hear this, you hear guys trying to do like an Imagine Dragons. That's what you hear.
Yeah. Get lost with me tonight.
Right? I'm not wrong in that, right?
Funky, bluegrassy kind of...
And the album is kind of eclectic.
A little folky, yeah.
And there's a lot of R&B influences, I would say. The closest thing I compare it to is like that Rag and Bone Man, kind of a soulful voice. And so I'm listening to it for a little while, and it's fine. And I'm like, who are these guys? Where did these guys come from? What are these guys about? And this is where I'm going to tell you that I learned something about the group. And so what I want you to do is I want you to pause it, and I want you to just tell me what that band looks like to you. Like, just describe them to me. Do they wear leather jackets? Do they?
I was thinking more like Canadian tuxedos, like the jean jacket.
Like jean jackets?
Yeah.
Yeah, but like a fashionable jean jacket, right, not like a vintagey, like retro kind of look. It's like incorporated into like a modern style.
So something strange happens when
probably a beard a little bit longer than mine.
The band's name is Sir Roosevelt.
A scarf. One guy's wearing a scarf.
Yeah, it's definitely a scarf.
And something strange happens when I look up Sir Roosevelt.
Guy exclusively plays the tambourine the whole time.
I find out that this band is Zac Brown from the Zac Brown Band's pop rock solo project. He did like a Chris Gaines, and he wanted to make something different, so he made it under a different band's name and released like a something kind of different. Now,
you know, now as soon as you say Zac Brown, I can totally, that's his, he's singing, right? Like that's totally his voice.
Yeah. Yeah. So
I can hear it.
Now that you know that, Travis, I'm going to play the song and you're going to hear it as a country song.
On as we burn one down, get high with me tonight.
You didn't hear it before, did you?
No, it was like Drunk said, like a Mumford and Sonny, Kings of Leon kind of fusion. And now that you told me it was Zac Brown, it sounds exclusively like a country music song.
Well, see, Zac Brown is kind of the hipster of the country music scene, though, isn't he?
Well, I guess so. I don't know anything about Zac Brown. And you know what? Honestly, if I was scrolling through new releases and I saw Zac Brown,
you would have scrolled right past it.
Oh, yeah. Of course you would have.
Because, I don't
do country at all.
He's a country man. And I mean, like, I can get into country if I'm forced to.
I'm zero.
There's a few of them.
Maybe a Garth Brooks tune or two. But
Shooter Jennings is good. And then I'm spacing on the other guy's name. That's really good. But they're like outside of regular country. They're like kind of classic country mixed with like a rock kind of southern rock kind of tinge, it seems like, more. But Zac Brown, and he's not completely like poppy country that's on the radio, but I can, yeah, this is
so it was song. Funny because I told Laura the story before I played her the song, and she said, I don't know what you're talking about. This is just country. It's just pop country. And so when I'm listening to it with her in the car, I was like, you know what? Now I hear it too. Now I guess I had a unique experience in that I heard it a different way before I found out it was country. Yeah, and then
I'm kind of pissed that you ruined it for me because I really kind of liked that song. And now it like doesn't sound the same as it did the first time I heard it.
Right. He almost went reverse Darius Rucker there.
Yeah. I took a trip to Nashville yesterday. I went to Nashville to see...
where all this talk is coming from, all this country music talk.
Right, right. It's kind of funny, Travis, because have you ever been to Nashville?
To Music City? I have not made the journey. I've driven through. I'm not the biggest country music fan. I hear it's actually a pretty cool town.
I've seen the stadium and went to a Walmart there, and that was it.
It's kind of fun because you walk down their main way there, and every single bar and eating establishment is packed. And at 3 o'clock in the afternoon on a Monday, all of them had live entertainment.
That's
every
the crazy
single
thing
place.
That I've heard is that, yeah, everybody's trying to make it in Nashville, so there's constantly live music all over that town.
Yeah, I heard so many country tinged covers of Bruce Springsteen and you know, like ironic covers of pop songs done. As,
or like the country version of Gin and Juice. That one gets me every time.
Right.
Sure. Let me ask you this. Was it like every three or four bars, did it have like a really super cute blonde singing like poppy country?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And, cool. And so, you know, you walk down there and you, I mean, if in St. Louis, you can probably catch a good concert at night most days. But I'm talking about 3 o'clock on a Monday. There was 30 people playing live music at any given time.
So it's basically a less trashy New Orleans.
So we went and saw a rock and roll concert.
Not that I don't like New Orleans. I love the it's a proper amount of trashy for me. So I mean,
it was fun. It was nice. Yeah. It was a good time. I rode in an Uber for the first time.
What?
It was kind of.
You've never Ubered before?
I've never Ubered. I Ubered twice. It was an experience. You just get in some weird dude's car.
Yeah.
And he takes you a couple
and
blocks.
And he asks you if you want some water or some gum. And
right, right. And he was driving a Mini. I got to ride in a Mini drunk. Never done that before.
No, that would have frightened me. I'd have been like, Noah, you can move on. I'll find another.
Do
Uber
you get
guy.
To pick? Do you get to tell him, no, I'm sorry, I don't ride in Minis?
I think you can on the app, can't you? When you like do the app, can't you request a certain kind of car?
Yeah. Yeah.
You might have to wait longer. The Mini was pretty nice, drunk. I enjoyed the Mini. Not much for trunk space.
Right.
But, you know, it was Mini. It was compact. It was a small vehicle.
When I was in Austin for a week, I had to rent a Fiat 500, and that car was scary, and I will never enter a Fiat ever again.
You didn't like it?
No.
What was wrong with it?
Well, A, it looks like a clown car, and B, so like your blind spot's right here or whatever, you can't see out of it. You can't see out of the blind spot. So you feel like you're in a death trap. You can only use your mirrors.
Oh, yeah. If you get hit in that, you're dead.
Oh, dude.
Yeah.
Sardine canned. So
on the way back, we see signs saying that there is a 20-foot tall Superman statue with a Superman museum.
Uh-huh.
And so, I mean, we've got to stop at that, right?
Right.
So we stopped for the 20-foot tall Superman. We all, you know, take turns taking our picture with Superman.
Is that in Metropolis?
It was in Metropolis, Illinois. Yeah. And when we're leaving, we notice that somebody has painted a rock. We go over and we pick up the rock, and they've drawn this elaborate desert scene with like a cactus, and there was a bird sitting on the cactus on the on this little like skipping rock. It was a good skipping rock. It was nice and flat. You know.
Did you take it?
And the back of it said, "Hey, if you find this rock, you gotta join this Facebook group. It calls some city rocks, and we'll explain." So, you know, I joined the group, right? Okay. You joined the group. And the group says, "Hey, man, we like painting rocks. And then, like, we leave them places, and we hope that they travel. So take the rock and put it somewhere else. And then maybe somebody else will pick it up and put it somewhere else and join the group." And so I'm on board with this, right?
Sure.
Because now the rock's going to be on a podcast.
There you, hell yeah. Put it on a flat drunk.
Yeah, put the rock on a flat drunk. So I joined the group, and the group is like a closed group, and they asked me a whole bunch of questions. I guess they're real private about their rocks. I mean, I found my rock by Superman.
Did they pinpoint the artist at least?
No, the artist did not sign their work. It's just some painted-ass rock, Travis, and I took it.
So did you put it somewhere in the ghettos of St. Louis, or
just throw it out your car door?
I figured I'd just chuck it at a pedestrian eventually.
Just go into Kinlock and fucking toss that rock somewhere. And
hope they join the Facebook group. We have that around here too. It spread up last spring sometime, where it was there's Rockin' Rapids, because you know it's Rapids where I live, and it's the same kind of deal. People leave rocks all over the place. So my kids got into this Rockin' Rapids thing.
This is an actual thing that happens? Yeah, I thought it was an anomaly, drunk.
I don't know how it spreads. No, it's not an anomaly.
I've never heard of it.
It happened in my town, and you go through any of the parks in the city. You just got to look around. There's rocks all over the place. But my kids got really into it, and so... You know, they weren't happy enough just to find these rocks in the park and then move along and put them somewhere else. They had to bring all of the rocks from my yard into my home, you know, in hopes of painting them or, you know, writing on them with markers and things, which they did. But I had for a good, God, probably a good 6-7 weeks, I had a living room, just big pile of rocks in it that they were... randomly, you know, doing their art on, which is fine. They kept them busy, and then they eventually went to a park and left them all over. But it did take a good 2 months before my house was rock free.
Did anybody contact you about the rocks they found?
The kids don't care. It's just the idea. So it's not like we're part of a Facebook group or anything, and they didn't sign their name or anything. It was just like the idea of it appealed to them. So they didn't need any of the affirmation. They didn't need the pat on the back. They didn't need to like broadcast that they donated to charity in hopes that somebody would say good job. They just wanted to do it. So
it's neat to see where the rocks go, though, Travis.
Well, of course it is. But I think that they're just thinking, you know, some lucky person is going to get their work of art and it's going to be in their home and then they're going to pay it forward. And they don't really need to know where it goes, just that it went to a good home.
They're going to display a genuine Hulse.
That's right. A genuine Hulse children creation.
And Travis, so what burns the gator this week? I saw that you were getting mad on the tweeters. Thought we would debut our new segment. What burns the gator?
A couple of times this week, I think that I think the first was my spat with DirecTV, wasn't it? Was that the one you noticed originally?
Travis, do you have the same arguments with DirecTV that everyone has? That they're garbage and they raise their prices and fuck them?
Yeah, the problem is their service is amazing. I love the functionality of DirecTV. It has everything that I could possibly want. And, you know, it's just like any of the other companies where they sign you up and give you an amazing deal and then stick you in the ass as soon as that's over. But they've always treated me well where, you know, you'd have to jump through hoops every 6 months. But every 6 months you give them a call and say, hey, my bill's too high. What can you do for me? And they'd knock off like $40, $50 off your bill. And you just have to, as soon as those expired, you would just give them a call or jump on the chat online and talk with them again, and they do it.
Right. They raise your price $60 because they want to raise your price $20.
Right.
And if you don't call, hey, a free $60. But if you do call, they'll think you're getting a deal them fucking you out of $20.
I didn't even think that you could do that. I just need to have Travis start negotiating my DirecTV bill for me.
Well, no, what you do.
Say your bill is too high and you've been a customer for a while and you want a discount. They will find you a discount.
First guy is garbage. First guy will say, oh, there's nothing I can do for you. I'm sorry. And you say, okay, I want to cancel the whole fucking thing. And they say, hold on a second. Before you do that.
See, my lady's done that before. They're like, okay, when do you want us to pick it up?
they'll get you to a third person.
Let me transfer you to the loyalty department.
Yep.
Okay. And once you get to the loyalty department, then the loyalty department will say, hey, how about instead of raising your bill $60, we only raise it $15 and we'll take away your movie channels. And you say, it would be kind of a hassle to do the whole thing. So yeah, let's just do that. And then you realize that not only did they take your movie channels, they took all your hockey channels too.
Oh, that one not fly.
I know.
Well,
I know.
That's the problem is like I have the stacked lineup. I have all the premium channels. I have Sunday Ticket. I have all this shit.
In the chat, Michelle says this is the same with Comcast. Yes, Michelle. It's the same with all of them. They're all the same. They raise your price $60 because they want to raise your price $20.
But the thing is, like with DirecTV, I could call every football season, and I have the last 3 years, and say, hey, listen up. I want NFL Sunday Ticket, and I don't want to pay for it. And I know for a fact you're giving it to people for free because a guy at work just got it for free. And they'd keep you on the line for 20 minutes or so, and eventually they'd give you a free Sunday ticket. So I have a free Sunday ticket. So,
damn. I paid for it the last 2 years. I need Travis negotiating for me.
No, don't. And I found that the best way to contact them now is to not go through the channels and like actually call them. The best thing to do is actually just go on their website and hit the chat functionality, and then just tell them straight up, this is how it is. I want a discount. I know somebody that got a discount. I want a discount. And they usually hook you up. What gets me, I don't mind jumping through the hoops because they all do this bullshit. What gets me is this last time that my 6 months worth of discounts dropped, I contacted them, said, listen, last person I talked to, told me as soon as this 6 months is over, you know, get a hold of you, you're going to put discounts back on my bill. I went through the runaround for the longest time like I've done in the past. They told me, nope, nothing I can do. I said, well, that's nonsense. Last person told me get my discounts back. You always give me my discounts. I can't pay over $200 for television. And they suggested that I drop my movie channels. And I said, listen up.
I like my movie channels.
I like my movie. The only reason I have the premium package, like the ultimate, you have to have all these other bullshit channels just to get all these movie channels that I want. So I want the movie channels. I want the DVR. I want to be able to DVR my movie channels. Don't talk to me about dropping my premium channels, because if I'm going to drop my premium channels, I might as well drop the service altogether.
You give me what I want, you motherfuckers. That's what Travis says.
That's pretty much what I said. And they told me this time, no, not going to do that. So, well, I'll probably just cancel then. And they said, well, why don't you wait? Don't cancel. Please don't cancel. We'll email you as soon as there's a discount available. And what I got out of it this time is the fact that usually I'll wait until the discount's actually expired and I'll have one bill that pops up full price. Well, this time I noticed it before that full price bill popped up that I had to pay. And that's when I contacted them. And that's when they told me they couldn't give me. So what they're hoping is that even if you're the customer that calls every 6 months, that you're only going to call after you get stuck with that one full price bill. And I feel like now that I have a Roku and saw what they can offer, DirecTV can go fuck themselves, and I'm cutting the cord. I have I just got, after I contacted them and they said they weren't going to give me a deal, they sent me a price increase list and said, guess what? Not only are you not getting those discounts, but raising your bill. So enjoy that. But I live in Wisconsin, and even if you're under contract, you can cancel without any penalties anytime they try to raise your price. So they're getting a big middle finger, and I'm going to subscribe to Sling TV and every streaming service that exists, and I will save myself $80. So
do you still get – you don't still get the Sunday ticket with the Roku and the Sling, though, do you?
Actually, the Sling TV has the Red Zone channel. So the best part of Sunday Ticket is the Red Zone channel. So you don't have to decide when you're going to watch the Carolina fucking Rams game and when you're going to watch the Dallas Bengals game. They just take you to where the action is. So you just sit on the Red Zone channel.
I'm a fan of the 8 screener, and I watch all 8 of them at one time.
Oh yeah, I actually do like that too. But no, they got the Red Zone channel, and they also have this Fox Sports and ESPN and all that shit's on Sling TV. And they have a DVR service now too. It's like a cloud storage DVR for an extra $5. So okay. I priced it out. If I get everything Sling has to offer, if I get all the major streaming services and the DVR through Sling, I'm saving myself, like I said, like $80 a month. So.
If we wait long enough, Google will save us.
I certainly hope so.
They got it in Kansas City, and I got friends in Kansas City, and they say they actually love the Google.
Yeah, the Google just come in and swoop in and save the day.
Here's the hoping. But so yeah, after the final week of the NFL season this year, I was actually going to cancel my DirecTV too, even though they just gave me free channels just out of the blue.
What'd they give you?
There's some nonsense. It's like the Smithsonian channel.
Yeah, what are you going to do with that?
That HD pack? That extra HD pack?
Yeah.
Something like, hey, we gave you the Smithsonian channel. Oh, thanks.
It's like 12 channels or something. They just got it out of the blue, gave me for free for 3 months.
Bullshit, I got to
Well, then I got to call the cancel before the fucking bill hits.
You know, Drunk, this is our last program before Christmas. This is our Christmas episode. Is there somebody special that you want to wish a Merry Christmas?
The whole world.
Travis, do you want to wish anybody a Merry Christmas, buddy?
I used to chat with this gal on ICQ back when I was, oh man, I don't know, like 17, 18. Her name was Nayla.
Nayla, spell that, yeah, spell that.
From N-A-I-L-A.
Okay.
She was from Trinidad, Tobago.
Oh, she's like foreign. Okay, then maybe Nayla's real. I was going to say, Nayla, that sounds like a made-up name that like a guy who likes anime made up.
Yeah, she's from Trinidad, Tobago, and we chatted like every single night for God, months and months and months.
It was a video and chat or?
Just a chat through the ICQ, but I found her on Twitter after a handful of years, and she's like a musician now. But she confirmed whether or not it was her that I talked to. So there's a special Merry Christmas to Nayla Joseph
From Trinidad. To her music
career. Did you guys, or Tobago.
Did you guys have text cyber sex encounters, Travis?
No, of course not. This was a strictly platonic relationship.
You talked to Nayla, like you said, like,
good friends.
I'm touching your boob.
No.
And she write back.
I don't know that I've ever engaged in the chat.
That feels good.
I don't know if I've ever engaged in the chat room cyber sex. What I always did when I was younger before high-speed internet was just download, like, one naughty picture. It'd take, like, 3 minutes, and as the picture was loading, you'd just take care of business.
3 minutes? You had that fast internet.
The upgrade, you know? Because I'd get shouted at from upstairs, like, hey, you're tying up the phone line again.
I used to do that all the time on the AOL Instant Messenger.
Yep.
Talk naughty to gals.
Like, no, I was with him with the download and then one naughty picture that took 7 minutes.
Taking off your pants now.
Do you remember Chat House? Did anybody use Chat? Did you ever use Chat House? That was like the first big, like, combined chat room thing where there was like different topics you could venture off in, and then you could go do like side chats with just like a couple of members or one member. You ever use the Chat House?
No. I was big on AOL. Travis, I did AOL. I'd go in an AOL chat room, and I'd try to just find some gal who was, you know, chatting, and then I'd double click on her and be like, "Hey, you wanna talk dirty with me?"
ASL.
Yeah, and then we'd be all like, "So what are you wearing?" Yeah, I just took that off. Whoosh.
Boom,
and now we're fucking.
Online.
If anybody used the chat, I'm curious. I want to see like the demo. If anybody used the Chat House website to do all of their sexy chatting or even just their regular chatting, let me know on Twitter.
You know, this chat room we have here at strangelabel.com, don't ever get any bait in here. You know what I'm saying?
Nobody's ever trying to engage you in a private one-off.
Right, right. There's just not a whole lot of lust in the Strange Label chat. I feel like we could we need to get some babes in here to talk dirty to.
Well, you know what we got to do is we got to add like a sex show to the network, whether that's sex advice or whether that's just sexy time, sexy story time, like a penthouse letters kind of thing.
In the chat, Michelle's asking me what I'm wearing, Travis. I'll tell
you. What are you wearing, Mike?
I am wearing
the Macho Man Randy Savage t-shirt.
A Macho Man Randy Savage t-shirt.
Well, you can see you tweeted a picture of with you in front of Superman today.
I am wearing a Everlast navy blue zip up
with an aqua stripe.
Know what it's like? What it's like?
No, not that Everlast, Travis. The Everlast that you get at
Kmart. You are shorts, I think. Do you got pants on?
My shorts are maroon. They have
used to be the go-to boxing brand.
They have no pockets.
I won't even purchase a pair of shorts for my pockets.
I didn't realize they had. And what am I going to do? Throw them in the garbage? I just wear them
fucking
sometimes.
Fucking give them to the Goodwill. Yeah.
And I am wearing blue slipper socks. They have tread on the bottom so that comfy. I don't fall down when I'm walking around in my socks.
Oh, you know, I need a pair of Keds.
And some like wood grain headphones.
Yeah. Keds.
And glasses.
Yeah, and glasses.
You want to say what color your boxers are today? Or are they briefs? Are they boxer briefs? Or
I'm wearing Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle boxer briefs because nice. I'm a man boy.
Aren't we all just men boys?
That's right.
I don't think there's anybody who grew up in our generation.
These slipper socks and me not falling down, Me being sturdy as fuck.
It's very They're like sexy. Hospital socks, right?
And having a maturity level of 14 years old.
So what we're going to do.
Here's what we're going to do.
Going to take a break. I wish all of you a very Merry Christmas, by the way.
Or Happy Holidays.
Travis.
If you want to be PC.
Stuck to one Trinidadian broad. I'm telling all of you, hey.
All you out there in Malaysia.
Merry Christmas. If Napier is out there, Napier, Merry Christmas.
Little Napier that takes all Napier's time, Merry Christmas to you.
We'll be back in just a couple of minutes. Thanks for being with us. I know it's a weird night, so and we didn't really give anybody any
notice. Way to be on the Twitters, Mike.
Right. We'll be back.
It's Tupac, Machiavelli, the Don representing Death Row. Get what you heard. The only station that's truly representing for the streets.
Strangelabel.com.
They say till death do us part, but it wasn't quite true. You weren't really dead, and I know I still loved you. Our kids were the same, just a shambling mess, only grunting and moaning and eating live flesh. I made you a vow, and I won't turn away. I'll stand by your side until my final day. Dead kids, and I did love you too. So if romance is dead, then I want to die too.
Romance is Dead is filmed before a live studio audience.
Honey, I'm home. No, don't worry. No greeting necessary. I just work all day, make the hour commute home. Shoo away an angry mob carrying torches and pitchforks before I can even pull into the driveway. And walk in the door, see a house that looks like it's barely survived the apocalypse. And to top it all off, no dinner. Unless I count the partial human torso that's so elegantly draped over the living room coffee table. Listen. I know we're living in a time when gender roles are blurred and that I shouldn't expect anything but love and compassion from our relationship. But I feel like I contribute a lot to this household. I think I'm a loving husband, a good father, and a pretty successful provider to our family. I know my expectations should be limited to not being eaten and digested, but I think what we need to work on is balance. Because honestly, I feel kind of... Hello.
Pizza. Ugh, fuck this. Pizza delivery.
I didn't order any pizza.
I've got this address.
Listen, I just got home and I didn't order any pizza.
This is 1408 King Boulevard, well, right?
Yeah.
It says right here, 1408 King Boulevard. A delivery for...
Oh, Dana, I shouldn't have doubted you, honey. Great kid. What do I owe you?
That'll be $89.79. Doesn't include gratuity.
$90 for one pizza? What the hell is on it?
Well, the online order notes requested a couple of severed fingers. We couldn't do that, so it's just 6 pounds of raw sirloin on some uncooked dough.
Dana!
Romance is Dead. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors.
Grab him by the pussy. 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 She wanted to get some furniture. I said, I'll show you where that's some nice furniture. I moved in her like a bitch. Grab him by the pussy. 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 She wanted to get some furniture. I said, I'll show you where that's some nice furniture. I moved in her like a bitch.
Once again, WFOD. Wheelbarrow full of dicks.
I lost my heart under the bridge to that little girl, so much to me.
blue-eyed girl. She said no more. And that blue-eyed girl became blue-eyed whore. Down by the water, I took her hand, just like my daughter.
Guys, welcome back to the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks Internet Radio Program. Phone number to contact the show, 636-487-HAND, or WFOD show on Skype. Travis, unfortunately, we have more updates to announce.
Oh, do we have to?
Oh, I think we do. We have a responsibility, Travis. We're America's number one trusted news source.
I gotta do the sound.
You gotta do the whole thing. I know you don't want to, but you got to, Travis. It's important.
All right. It's a sexual assault watch.
Oh boy.
Update.
Travis, Morgan Spurlock announced that he's a sexual assaulter. I don't think anybody outed him. I think he just wanted people to know.
Yeah, he came out and said, I didn't want to worry about this anymore, about somebody outing me, so I'm preemptive strike, and I'm going to tell you I'm a sexual assaulter.
Yeah, he said, I've been married a couple times, and I cheated on all my wives, and I'm overall a pretty bad guy. And I just wanted you guys all to know, please remember me. I'm the guy who made that movie about McDonald's.
And
me.
He was just about to release a sequel to that Super Size Me movie, which was like his biggest movie he ever made.
Oh, but that is the way to do it. If you're going to, you might as well get out in front of it.
Alec Baldwin did that and nobody gave a shit. They were just like, oh, Alec, whatever.
People don't give it. Alec Baldwin can do. People still bring up Mel Gibson talking shit to his ex-wife about, you know, how she, some anti-Semitic shit. But people completely forgive Alec Baldwin for calling his daughter a fat little pig.
Mel Gibson had a good
so
one, though.
Funny,
see,
dude.
What he wanted, she wanted to go get in the jacuzzi, but he wanted the blowjob before jacuzzi.
Yeah, not after.
Yeah, you blow me and then jacuzzi. I mean, it's a simple request, really. I don't know what the big deal is.
I don't disagree.
I don't either.
Morgan Spurlock, he told everybody that he's a sexual assault person. And the other big one, Travis,
a guy
you're a pretty big fan of, I think you got your picture taken with him. So that's a big
twice.
Deal for you.
I got my picture taken twice. I bought his rap album and his comedy special. They're both autographed. I had really nice chats with him because I've seen him twice, his show twice.
TJ Miller outed today as being a sexual assault person. There was a news story from a lady that he went to college with, and apparently, like, he put beer bottles in her hoo, and he punched her in the face. He's all around not a very nice guy. And he put out a statement and said, no, this lady's crazy. She's always been crazy. And I didn't put any beer bottles in her, but you gotta believe the accusers, right? You gotta.
No,
believe
you don't.
Them.
No, no.
No matter what, in this day and age, you believe the accuser, or you're for rape.
Drunk, you have to believe the accuser in all cases, because as we know, there are no manipulative people out there.
Whatever happened to innocent until proven guilty here?
Not anymore, buddy.
No.
Not in this day and age. If it comes out on the internet, you're accused, you're guilty.
Yes, anchor, this is life. The sexual assault people, they were accused. And so that means we all have to believe the accuser, drunk. Why would they lie, drunk?
I don't know. Cha-ching.
Drunk. No.
Money, are you kidding? In this world, in our society, somebody would ruin somebody's life for a paycheck?
Drunk.
Not Safe for Water Coolers is typically live on Tuesday nights. We're in their time slot. They're not doing a show.
But... Did we tell them, hey, fuck you, we couldn't do a show last night?
I cleared it with them first. They weren't going to do a show.
Yeah, we just did a live show on Friday, which should be released to podcast, their annual Shotsmiths. I was a guest, and so was Dan Fernicase. And I see today that they just finally released an episode that happened prior to Shotsmiths. So
they have an episode called Shotsmiths, and they didn't invite Drunk.
No. And actually, they invited me, and then they rescinded their invite. That's but that's not what we're talking about. You know, they actually have an episode that like people are interested in listening to. You know, there's a little bit of buzz about it. People are talking about how much fun it was. And so, of course, they're going to wait until nobody gives a fuck anymore before they release it.
Before all the buzz gets burned off.
They're going to make sure that nobody gives a fuck before they release it.
You know how people are so excited when they smell that pizza pie coming right out of the oven? It's all gooey and delicious.
Right. Put it in your trunk and wait for it to get cold.
Yeah, wait for it to get hard as a rock and cold, and then we'll release it. Nobody wants that shit.
There's a guy a while back that Shannon from Not Safe for Water Coolers interacted with a few times at a bar. His name is Richard, but he calls himself the Magic Man. That's his name for himself.
Okay.
And she told him, I have a podcast. You should listen to it. And like, you know, this guy is thinking to himself, he's an overweight gentleman. He's a funny looking guy. He's older. He's thinking, oh, my God, a 7 is taking an interest in me. I should totally pay attention to this girl. I should listen to her podcast. Maybe she'll pay more attention to me. She's single. I give her free drinks.
That's awesome.
Maybe we'll go on a date. Maybe she'll get into my my car and I can take her out for an ice cream.
We'll have something to talk about because I listen to her. I listen to her podcast.
And so fucking he's being manipulated by the situation because, you know, he's listening to this podcast that he's admitted he does not like. He tells all of us he doesn't like it. He sent their station, me,
yeah,
a bunch of emails.
You need to get them off
about
the
how much he doesn't like them. And then I just forward them all right to them. And so,
like, you're some sort of big wig fucking CBS kind of.
So this guy, he's on the hook because then they start talking about him.
Yeah.
And so now he has to keep listening to hear what they say about him, right?
Uh-huh.
And in the meantime,
she still hangs out with him at the bar.
She goes to the bar and peppers it along. He buys her drinks. And you know, and so, like, we all know Shannon. And so if there's a disagreement with Shannon and this goofy fuck,
she's not going to hold tongue.
What are we going to know except Shannon's side of the story that this goofy fuck is he's stalking me. Oh, my God. Why does he keep listening to our podcast? I don't know. And in the meantime, you know, she's showing up at the bar and saying, oh, you know, they talked about you on the podcast. You better check it out. And so, I mean, we know Shannon's side of the story. We take Shannon's side because we're friends with Shannon. We don't know magic from a hole in the wall.
Fair.
And I'm not saying that he's a sexual assault person. I'm just using that as an example that people can be kind of manipulative to their own ends. And that's the way that I chose to go about it, which is probably not the right way to go about it, right?
No, I think that was perfectly and very succinct, and I think you explained the situation, and now Drunk's on our side.
Drunk, you're on our side, right?
No, I'm
still not. You have to believe the accusers.
No, I'm not going to.
Shannon says that magic is a creep, and so we'll just believe her.
Yeah.
Right?
Of course.
And they're arguing in the chat room as to whether or not Shannon is, in fact, a 7. Shannon takes very good pictures, guys.
That's a really old picture, too, by the way. I about the same time, I used to take really good pictures, too, and that's like 4 years
ago. She's a master manipulator. She is very good at MySpace angles. I'm joking. Shannon might be more than a 7. I've never been
a 7.7.
Shannon's a very attractive guy. This is all for comedic purposes.
Hey, you know what, Travis? If Shannon is higher than a 7, then that just
proves my point more.
Mm-hmm.
This guy is going to buy as many drinks and listen to as many shitty podcasts as she wants him to. Because he's just thinking, maybe she'll let me take her out for a hamburger and some french fries.
Maybe one day my penis will get wet.
And he'll follow her to the ends of the earth because the manipulation is so easy.
Man, wouldn't that be sweet if we as men could say that to people? Like, well, hey, I have a podcast. Yeah, you're familiar with podcasts? Well, I have one.
Yeah, yeah.
Isn't that impressive? Would you listen to it? Well, what's it called?
Travis, let's get off the topic. You get my point, though. It does make sense, right? I'm sure I'm going to have to go back and explain what I'm saying. But to say that like no one has ever manipulated anything to their own advantage and nobody has ever said anything that is untruthful, it's silly. And I'm also not saying, I don't know that Magic isn't a creep. I've had conversations offline with Magic. Seems like kind of a douchebag. He seems pretty awful. I'm not defending Magic in any way. I think Magic sucks.
Right.
But I don't know Magic. All I know is the stories of someone who I know lies all the time. And I'm believing that.
And you're taking her side.
Because I know her. Even though what I know about her is that she lies all the time.
That's awesome.
Travis, what's the other thing that is burning the gator?
Well, Mike, let me tell you what. This week, us comic book fans were given an early Christmas gift.
Oh, yes?
Yeah, we were given the early Christmas gift, and that gift came in the form of Star Wars fans.
Travis, don't spoil the film for me yet. I haven't seen it.
I will not spoil this film for you. I've been very vocal about my feelings on it, and I did say, and this still holds true, I do need to see it one more time before I give it like my definitive feel.
The internet does not like the new Star Wars film, no, Travis.
This might be, and I was a child seeing Return of the Jedi in the theater. I was a Star Wars fan since I was 4 years old. This Last Jedi might be my favorite Star Wars film of all of them.
Really?
Yeah.
See, the Star Wars nerds do not like it.
No, that's why I say the comic book guy's got a gift of Star Wars fans, because that's right, not even Star Wars is immune to the internet's rage of, if it's not the best thing I've ever seen in my whole entire life, it's the biggest piece of shit ever made. If it didn't spoon-feed me everything I thought it needed to, it's trash. And if it didn't play out all of my fan theories from The Force Awakens exactly as I'd wanted it, it's a dumpster fire.
See, now everybody thought that Luke Skywalker, he was a bad guy.
But he wasn't.
That's what everybody thought. They said, I bet Luke Skywalker's a bad guy. From that trailer, it looks like he's probably a bad guy.
Well, and it's like everybody's pissed off. And I won't spoil it. Everybody's pissed off about what they revealed of Rey's lineage. Everybody's pissed off about things they did with the Force. Everybody's pissed off about it. Actually, there's a pretty good section of people that really do enjoy the movie, and then there's the section of people who, you know, they're like, yeah, it was fine, it's not my favorite Star Wars, but it's fine. But there is the vocal minority of assholes out there, just like there is with the comic book movies, or actually comic books themselves.
Oh, that's where you were going with this.
About everything.
Yeah,
they have to bitch about everything that exists. If it's not their favorite thing or exactly what they want, exactly how they want it, it's fucking garbage.
So that just makes comic book people look good, because...
Well, what it shows is it's not just comic book people. It's just that apparently fandom is trash.
Fandom is trash.
If you're too much of a fan of something and you are going to get into a big group and bitch about it, that fandom is garbage, because people can't just enjoy things or think that it's okay. You have to think that if it's not exactly what you wanted, it's the biggest piece of shit ever made.
And so then is that fandom? I guess it is, because, I mean, things that I'm a big fan of, if it falls below my expectations, then I'm mad at it.
I'm not mad. It's just, like, not, it could be better. You know, I mean, I just don't understand why everybody's reaction has to be, it's the greatest thing ever made or it's the worst thing ever made. Sometimes things are just okay. Like our discussion about the X-Men movies. We go to X-Men movies. We watch X-Men movies in the motion picture houses. We walk out of X-Men movies and say, yep, that's fine.
See, but they're not really fine. I mean, like, if I really wanted to, like, get mad, I could, because, I mean...
Why would you waste the time?
So is Logan just fine, or...
Logan was good.
Logan was good?
I mean, I'm like, but the way they did Apocalypse sucked. I love Apocalypse, and they made Apocalypse lame.
Yeah, that's too bad, because Oscar Isaacs is a great actor, and he just was horribly miscast, and it just wasn't, yeah.
I've hated the last few because they're just basically Mystique movies because Jennifer Lawrence is popular. They're just like, right. Mystique runs the X-Men.
No.
But I mean, you enjoyed them, right? You're not angry that you saw them.
I mean, they're fine.
Yeah, you didn't run right out and start a petition like they did with the Star Wars, this weird Star Wars fan base petitioning Disney to remove The Last Jedi from Star Wars canon.
You know, yeah, I saw that.
It's ridiculous. It's a fucking movie, guys. I understand. I grew up with Star Wars too. Me too. Been a fan all of my life, my entire life.
I mean, those movies that you liked, you could still go watch those movies.
Yeah, yeah, watch them. And yeah, you don't have to remove it from canon. Just don't pay attention to anything past the thing that you obviously can't get along with.
You know what a good example is, Travis? The Star Trek fans. They just seem to kind of take whatever comes. And, you know, they might be on board. They might not be on board. But, you know, they... Fast and the Furious guy making a Star Trek movie? Okay. It'll probably be garbage, but I mean, we're going to get a TV show in a year or two. We'll watch that, I guess.
I think there was kind of an uproar over the last one, Beyond, or maybe it was the one with Khan. One of those two got some blowback.
I think I fell asleep in that last one.
Right? I don't know. I enjoyed both the last two.
Beyond was the new. What was the one with Khan? Star Trek Into Darkness.
Yeah.
I own the Blu-ray, and I sat down with that sucker, turned the lights off, turned the stereo on, wanted to see this motion picture. The first time, I think I got 8 minutes into it, fell asleep. The second time, I might have made it 15 and fell asleep. So I haven't tried it again, but I hear it's just fine. It's good and entertaining. I just can't go back to it because I fell asleep twice, and that seems like a sign.
Anchor in the chat says that Star Trek fans all hate the new Star Trek series, Star Trek Discovery. But I guess maybe I just don't see them. Maybe that's it. There's just not enough of them for me to really hear it. I mean, there's so many people who have so many opinions of Star Wars. It's like you can't really avoid it. It just kind of, you know, it's like Donald Trump. When a Star Wars movie comes out, it's everywhere. And you just see people talking about the new Star Wars.
Didn't they kind of hate Voyager when it first came out? And then they kind of like grew on them?
Nah, I don't know. And the
internet wasn't what it is now. The internet is, we do need the internet kill switch. You know, all the thing that when they were bitching about Egypt shutting off the internet when they were going through their like uprising, we need that. And it needs to be implemented right now.
So fandom is bullshit.
Fandom is bullshit. Enjoy what you enjoy. If you didn't like it, keep it to yourself. Maybe tell your friend and be like, oh, yeah, it wasn't really my cup of tea. I didn't like this, this, and this. But don't start a goddamn petition.
I agree with part of what you said. You said don't start a petition. I agree with that. But don't keep it to yourself that you didn't like something. I mean, if you didn't like something, you can say you didn't like it,
but what's the difference? Don't tell people they're wrong for liking it.
Right. That's the part that I think is stupid. Is like, and I'm guilty of it too. I know, because I couldn't fathom for a second that anyone liked Batman v Superman, and you said you did, and I told you were wrong.
No, my lady loves that movie.
I love it. I like that. I like yeah.
But yeah, I think it's weird when people tell people they didn't like what they liked. That's a weird one.
Yeah, when people say, I really enjoyed this, and they're like, oh, it was garbage. It's like, well, no, I liked it. Well, you're wrong. I can't be wrong to tell you how much I enjoyed it. I'm not wrong. Because I've told a bunch of people that this might possibly be my favorite Star Wars movie, and I get reactions. I got a couple of reactions at work where they looked at me when I said that, like, are you fucking kidding me? But they didn't say I was wrong. Because that's my opinion.
You know? Like, I see all the Star Wars movies, and, I mean, they're fine. I see them, and I say, oh, cool. I mean, that was okay, I don't really get into the Star Wars movies, but I do go see them all. To me, they're just kind of movies. But some people take Star Wars as like a religion. They get
Star Wars to me, and I'm not like those crazy people like that need to dress up and do it. But Star Wars to me is like part of my childhood, so it remains with me. I'm not going to say I was almost. Like, every time I get the fanfare, like the scroll before a Star Wars movie in the theater now, I really do, like, shed a tear. It's not like I'm bawling, but I get goosebumps and I do, like, get watery eyes because it is that special to me. And the first time I was able to take my children, when I took them to The Force Awakens, you know, it was the second time I saw The Force Awakens, I was so goddamn happy to be sharing Star Wars with them. Because it is such a part of my life.
That's how I am with Jason Statham movies.
One day I hope
to share Jason Statham with my children. And I'd be like, look, Jason Statham, he's going to talk in kind of a British accent. And he's going to drive around in a car real fast. And at some point, it's going to be a bunch of people that are going to want to beat him up. None of them are going to have guns. He's going to get in a fight with them all. And he's going to kick him.
Eventually, he'll have a witty one-liner, and he'll laugh.
He's going to kick him in the goddamn face.
That's what. And then you're going to pull out the deep cuts, like Homefront or whatever that one was.
Yeah, where he tried to not have a British accent.
And the bank job. Isn't that called the bank job, where they were digging the tunnel?
Oh, yeah. You go deep with Statham. He's made some real garbage.
I actually did like that Homefront movie. I think his daughter is somebody who's like a famous actress now. In that flick. I can't remember who it was, but I think she's something now.
I enjoy the old Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels.
Old school Statham.
That's classic.
Old
school.
Isn't that the first? Is that the first time we saw him wide release? Was Lock,
Stock? It might
have
been, yeah.
Yeah, and then Snatch. That's where I got my first Statham. Yeah. I'll tell you what, Crank is the most fun I've ever had in a movie theater. I sat in the back, and I watched Crank. And I cheered through the whole fucking thing. Like, every couple of minutes, I went, yeah! Get him! That's the most fun I've ever had in a movie.
That's awesome.
There's that the scene with him and Amy Smart in the newspaper stand. Like, how are you going to beat that?
Right. It's great. It's such a stupid movie, but it's so great. I love stupid movies. Love them.
Like Sharknado?
Yeah, I haven't seen it, but I'm sure I'd love it.
Well, speaking of stupid movies, I just for the very first time saw Benny from Podcheese's favorite movie, The Room, last week.
Oh, you just saw that for the first time?
I get it now. I totally get it.
It's great. It's so great to watch that movie with a couple of friends. I feel like you can't really watch it by yourself because feel weird about it.
You totally can. The only thing that's a little off about watching it by yourself or when your wife is like in and out of the room is the fact that the first third of it is strictly a giant Skinamax sex scene without any real sex. So it's like anytime your wife walks in, it's the Lisa. She's either having sex with Johnny or Johnny's friend Mark. It's like,
oh, hi, Mark.
Oh, hi, Mark.
Travis, you told me about Hatchimals for the first time the other day. I learned about this Hatchimals.
You've never seen this?
Went to do. It's like a toy, and you don't know what the toy is going to be because it's in a big egg.
Mm-hmm. I've seen these.
You turn it on, and then the egg starts shaking around. And it's like, uh-oh.
It takes like 20 minutes.
Yeah, and then the egg hatches, and then you find out what toy you got. And it might be butt ugly, but it might be good. Well, anyway... I started reading about Hatchimals because I was really interested in it. And I found a story. They were saying that there's a problem. They started selling bath time Hatchimals.
Yeah.
They're Hatchimals that you put in the bath and they hatch when you're in the bath. And I guess that encourages kids to go get in the bathtub. And they said that like one out of every 1,000 Hatchimals is giving kids chemical burns when they take a bath.
I saw a post on Facebook that somebody like posted pictures of their kids' arms and legs and shit that were all burned up from these Hatchimals.
Hey, you know, Travis, I feel like one out of 1,000, you know, I mean, it's supposed to be a surprise what's in it.
Surprise!
Yeah, one of them just might be chemical.
Doesn't that make it that much more fun that you could be the one in a thousand that gets chemical burns and you could not? I mean, like, your Hatchimal could come with a special surprise?
Yeah, it's like playing Russian roulette. Like, you never know what you're going to get.
Yeah, I mean, if there's no element of danger in it, then what do you really give a shit? Isn't it just any other toy?
Well, in reality, like, probably one out of a thousand of us, statistically, you're probably going to be gunned down in, like, a mass shooting, so...
Right, and you're probably not going to be that one in a thousand. Right. Can't you look at it like that? The odds are in your favor that you're going to be fine.
Well, then they do make other ones besides the ones that you get in the bath with, too.
See, this is my beef with the whole bath time Hatchimal thing is, who are these parents spending $10,000 a year to give their kids a bath? You know, you're trying to get your kids in the bathtub, and every time they get in, you give them a Hatchimal just to get them in there. Those things are like $5 a pop.
Are they expensive, the Hatchimals?
They're not cheap. They don't give them away.
Are they rare, too? Do you have to, you know,
like Pokemon?
Get them on eBay?
I think you can get them. It was like a Tickle Me Elmo situation when they first popped up, where you're not going to get it unless you're on eBay, but now you can pretty much get them everywhere.
Yeah, when I went to the Shedd Aquarium in Chicago, they sell Jurassic Park-style Hatchimals at the little gift shop. Fun fact.
I like that. And there's a weird, and I don't know if it goes back to, maybe we had something like this with our, you know, when we were kids where trading cards were all the rage and you didn't know it was in there, but it seems like this generation, like their big gets, their big excitement is these not knowing what toys they're going to get. My kids were into Shopkins last year, my daughter especially, and it wasn't the 10-pack that excited her. It was that the fact that the 10-pack came with a mystery character.
Ooh, you got to know what the mystery is, right?
You didn't know what it was going to be until you open it up. And now, if you walk into any toy aisle in any store,
it sprays acid in your face.
Like, Target and Walmart all have those, like, those mini figs, but you don't know what's in the bag of mini fig until you open it up. So you could get, if you get a Turtles minifig, you could get, like, Leonardo 700 times, or you could get, like, Krang. You just don't know until you take it home and open it up.
I bought one of those mystery figures of Rick and Morty. And yeah, I got Jerry, and I just threw him in the garbage.
I wouldn't get $2 piece of plastic. Hey, who wants that?
I don't want Jerry. Fuck
Pickle
Jerry.
Rick.
Yeah. None of you guys even know what I'm talking about. You guys, you know, I'm on the inside on this Rick and Morty thing, guys.
My lady watches it. I don't get it. I don't think it's
right.
That funny.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I'm one of those obscure people that, you know, likes things that nobody else likes. Yeah. Like Rick and Morty, you know.
Like Rick and Morty, that little known property.
Yeah. I like that rare stuff that nobody knows about.
I can't do anything with Adult Swim anymore. Because I still can't get over C-Lab 2021 being canceled, so.
What do you think, Travis? We did it?
We put out an episode. You wanted to put one out because you figured 3-week hiatus was too much, so here it is.
So 2-week hiatus, that's better, right?
Yeah.
And then maybe next week we'll just do a show and it'll be a 1-week. Yeah, who knows? You never know. You never know when the old dicks are going to pop up. Just never know.
What do you surprise?
Can I peel back old scabs real fast?
Oh, yeah?
So,
do you think that Shannon's higher than a 7?
No.
Okay.
Did you ever reschedule that interview with Grant Morrison?
No, drunk. Didn't.
God, you're such a boner. That was the boner moment of 2017.
That was...
Mike fucking up that interview.
That was 2017's big boner. Yeah, the show was a big hit, drunk. Biggest hit that sci-fi's ever had. So they got on Seth Myers, and he stopped returning my calls.
After the Hollywood Reporter and Variety and Splitsider and everybody else reported on how great the show was and talked to Grant Morrison himself, they said, well, we don't need to deal with that little podcast anymore. Yep. If you'd like to know what Drunk is talking about, you can hear the episode if you support us on Patreon or $1.99 on iTunes.
Travis, that episode's not available?
Travis, I will tell you. I saved.
You got to give that one free to the masses. That was my favorite episode of the year.
I saved that episode.
So funny.
I cannot bring myself to listen back to it because it's so embarrassing.
Did he put it out just unedited?
No.
It's just me chuckling the whole time.
To entice people to support us on Patreon and also to, you know, maybe pay for our Podbean by spending 99 like, cents on iTunes for
guys,
this episode.
You bringing this up and us talking about this again is making my stomach hurt.
Let me tell you this. I came home that day.
So bad. Like, I felt so bad.
I came home that
we
day.
We had Dan Fernicase on the show specifically to talk to this guy that he's a huge fan of, but a huge fan of forever. Man. Travis is a huge fan of this guy. They were both nervous all week knowing that this was coming up.
Yes.
I'm looking at the two pages of notes and interview questions that I had for Grant. I never do that for any of our
and,
guests.
Yeah. They, believe me, Travis does not prepare for interviews.
Nope, just wing it.
And I just bonered the whole fucking thing.
Dude, it was amazing.
That I felt so bad.
I came home that night and my lady was like, "How was the podcast?" And I'm just dying laughing. I was like, "That was the podcast of the year." I hope he puts it out. I did nothing but laugh my ass off that whole
thing. No, I mean, like, on a personal level, second half of that, you know, show. Like, I really, really make an effort to try to make this show good.
As you do. You do a very good job of it.
And I totally bonered it. And so, like, I was totally embarrassed because of that, like, in a real fucking way. Like, I was like, I don't even know if I can do a show anymore. I just want to crawl into a hole and forget that the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks ever existed.
The way your face looked after that episode was priceless.
But in addition to that, knowing that, like, that I totally fucked Dan and Travis, that made me feel like so much worse. Like, I couldn't sleep. Like, yeah. I was.
And I could tell, that's why I didn't push it too much, because I could tell that you were you legitimately felt bad. And it really did. It affected me in my real life. I was so excited. This was like the opportunity of a lifetime. There was never going to be a time where I was going to have a long form conversation with Grant Morrison. And here it was. Finally, the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks internet radio program got somebody in my wheelhouse that I was so excited for and so nervous about, and I prepared for and wrote questions down for like a week and a half.
And then I just bonered it.
This jackoff Mike just told him, hey, can you hang up and call back?
I fucking just blew it. Big time.
Oh, the episode of the year. 10 stars.
Yeah, Anchor in the chat says he likes it better when I get mad than when I'm insanely embarrassed to a point of just wanting to turn the microphones off.
Yeah, so that's why if that ever gets released...
No, I don't think I could... oh, my God. I don't think I can listen back to it. I think that I cringe. Like, if people in the chat are saying, like, hey, Mike, that was a great interview or something, like... I've already cringed 20 times. I hate listening to me interview people because I hate the way it sounds. And like I cringe and I take every like silence as like oh God, you fucked that up. And I'm very self-critical. And like, if I listened back to that, I don't.
But it's on.
I don't think
it's
I
on
can.
It's on the pay page, though, right?
No, it's nowhere. It'll never be anywhere.
I will be so angry.
You got to put that out for. You got to put that out for somebody that you can pay to listen to.
No, I haven't.
You'll make oodles and oodles of money on that episode alone.
I'm not going to make any money on anything. Nobody gives a shit about hearing us fuck up.
No, I'm telling you, episode.
You care, and you were here. So you got to hear it. You got to hear it. Plus, fuck up.
I want to hear it again. I want to hear it again, Mike.
If anybody's going to hear our pain and my utter and complete disappointment and like deflation on air, it's got to be for profit.
Seriously, for like
at least
40 minutes.
At least you'd be the MPC.
All we did
in the file.
Was just go. Oh. I mean, that was it. Was 40 minutes of that? Why would anybody want to hear that?
40 minutes of you going and me going.
People did really love to hear how excited you were about my pain.
God.
yeah, you loved it, drunk.
Oh, I know. I was, because just the way, the look on your face and you're scrambling around, what is this? Skype doesn't work. Like, to be here live in the man cave when it was going on, It was a sight to see, that's for sure.
It was the worst moment in Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks internet radio program history. And
sorry to bring up old scars, I just had to know.
And you so loved
maybe we'll,
it.
Maybe we'll put it on eBay. The highest bidder gets like, there's a reserve, of course, but
No, it'll never see the light of day. It was awful.
You can't just like shoot it to me via email or something?
No, because you'll put it out.
The drunk will find a way to
you'll
put
that find a way. You'll like,
do you already delete the file? I guess?
No, I have it, but I'm not going to listen to it because I'll probably accidentally delete it. I purposely didn't transfer it to MP3. I left it in wave form so that I would accidentally delete it and be like, oh, sorry, guys. Oops.
It has taken this is probably legitimate. It's been 2 weeks, and this is probably the first time I would actually be able to talk about it like out loud without being super depressed.
Anchor's posting pictures of Grant Morrison in the chat room.
Of course he is. Why wouldn't he?
Yeah, it's the worst thing to ever happen, ever. And Travis, again, I'm very sorry.
I know you are. I know you are legitimately sorry that you feel bad for
Travis,
it.
Travis, the next week, I spent so much time troubleshooting Skype to make sure it doesn't happen again. We learn from our mistakes and we grow.
He's got this on lockdown.
I just wish that we learned from our mistakes like on a week that we get like the guy from Lizard Monster 4.
Yeah.
And not the week that
you got probably the biggest person you ever wanted to interview.
One of Travis's heroes on the show.
You're the best. You're the best, Mike. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
Like, it worked out great when we lost that Local H interview because that interview was awful.
But I think that Local H interview, people would have loved that because if you would have, especially if you would have released it raw and heard how that guy was obviously on like major drugs.
I think that I would have cringed a lot listening back to that too because I was trying to be nice and like trying to be professional and he was such a dick.
Such an asshole. But it was so much fun because
I feel like he would have just cucked me on my own show, Travis. We would have just listened to Mike be a cuck for 20 minutes.
It was so much fun, though, because when it was over, we were like, what the fuck just happened? That fucking guy. As soon as he answered the phone, he's like, who is this? Like, he was supposed to call us. And then we called him, and he's like, who is this? Pissed off that we called him. That was amazing. This was sad.
So, yeah, that's that, guys.
We did it. Happy holidays, everybody.
My pick of the week, Travis, would be the Douglas fir. It smells well, and it looks good in the house. So
perfect. We would go with the white pine, the soft needle trees. Big fan of.
Unplug my headphones.
It's okay. Do you have a pick of the week, Mike? Bacon restaurants. That's what Mike's pick of the week is.
Eminem just drunk. Had a this he's in a pop up restaurant, Mom's Spaghetti.
Drunk, I'm gonna edit all of this out.
Mom's Spaghetti restaurant. Eminem.
Just keep it.
Mom's Spaghetti.
Just raw. That's how we roll. Restaurant.
Yeah, so I saw that.
Happy had a pop up bar based on the bar in the show Happy.
Oh, the hit show on Sci-Fi Happy?
Sci-Fi's biggest premiere.
Travis, have you been watching Happy?
Yeah. I had already seen the first two episodes because, we got an advanced screener because we were going to have a guest from that show on, but I did watch it a second time. I watched it both first two episodes, and I believe the third episode premieres tomorrow.
Yeah, it's on tomorrow, guys. So if you haven't watched, Happy is really good, and we're not just saying that because of what happened. It really is like a good, funny show that you should watch.
Yeah, if you liked Chris Maloney and Wet Hot American Summer and wanted to know what it would be like if he was completely whacked out and on drugs and like shooting at people, this is it. He's got a little unicorn horse imaginary friend. It's fucking crazy.
All right, well,
guys, I didn't do my pick of the week.
Oh,
I didn't do mine either.
Travis, pick of the week.
Travis, pick of the week. I would say it was The Last Jedi, but that would be too obvious. My pick of the week is The Autopsy of Jane Doe. I do not know where you can find that. It was on one of the movie channels, but The Autopsy of Jane Doe is an amazing horror movie. I liked very much the nice little twist to it. Emile Hirsch, and I can't remember the other guy's name, but watch The Autopsy of Jane Doe.
Guys, I went and saw The War on Drugs in Nashville yesterday. It's a band that I enjoy. And their opening act was a band called Low Moon, L-O Moon. And they only played a couple of songs, but they were very good. I enjoyed them a great deal. And so they are my pick of the week. We're listening to them now, actually. So check them out on Spotify. They only have like three or four songs. And actually, I tell you, their recorded songs aren't as good as their live show. So if they come to your town, go check them out because they're really good. We might pop up again before the end of the year. I wouldn't count on it, but it could happen. You never know.
Random Tuesday, you never know.
If we get an interview with Low Moon, we might pop back up.
Reach out to Low Moon, and then we'll put Travis in charge and see if he can ruin it. guys, thanks.
Happy holidays. Happy New Year.
Merry Christmas. All that.
Happy Hanukkah. Merry
Kwanzaa.
Happy Ramadan. And that's Napier's Moment.
I want you to know it's over.
Well, bye.
Hey,
Thank you for listening. Join us live every Monday night at 9, 8 central on strangelabel.com. Listen to our back catalog on iTunes, Stitcher, or our website, WFODix.com. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at WFODix. Give us a call at 636-487-HAND or email us at WFODshow@gmail.com. Special thanks, as always, to our Patreon sponsors, Brian Kranz, Liquid Lozenge, Harry Balls Anya. If you like what you heard, tell a friend. Be back next week, motherfucker.
Hey guys, Mike here. We have a Patreon now. I know. You've changed, Mike. Look, we're not going to make a thing about this. The show is happening whether you contribute money to it or not. But if you want to throw a buck or two at the dudes who make that thing you like, there it is. We're rewarding you, too, with 5-minute shows about whatever you want, shout-outs, stuff like that. Go to WFODix.com and find it in the Extras tab. Rate us 5 stars on iTunes, too. Fuck. I have changed.